Okay, let me say this, even for those that might be joining us by streaming video. If take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6. It is my goal, and I believe we'll be able to do it, is to conclude the book of Galatians today. And it's going to be strange the next weeks. We're not going to start another book right away. We are going to talk about evangelism, just look at some things of Scripture, maybe that they can be an encouragement to us to evangelize. We'll look at verses to help get clear how to evangelize. But next week is going to be different in that, and I believe, even though I don't see him here today, there's a man named Dion that comes into our service, and he hasn't fully embraced right division. We keep pounded it on him, but he spends his days doing nothing but evangelizing and getting the gospel out, and he uses our tracks to do it. And I've asked him to speak next week, so I'm going to introduce to him, and I'll probably make these same remarks next week so people understand. They might hear him say things that normally we don't necessarily stand for, but nonetheless, here's a man that has a burden to see lost people saved, and I want him to be able to answer the question what he does, why he does it, and how he does it. And I'm not sure, but I'm giving him freedom just to say whatever he wants to say, but that's what I'm looking for from him. And so he'll be speaking next week after I introduce him. So here we are in Galatians chapter 6, and we've talked pretty intensely about verses 15 and even 16 last week. We really have verse 17 and 18 to conclude the book, but before I get to verse 17, I want you to look again at verse 15, 16. I'll read 17 and 18 with it, and then you'll see where our study will begin, and then it'll follow right through to the end of the verse 18. It says, verse 15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." The benediction, and that's what I called it here, because he makes that statement clearly about being a new creature in Christ, and that's what avails to God today. That's what avails, period. It avails to us, is not circumcision, although circumcision did avail. But in this age that we're living in of grace, circumcision nor uncircumcision avails. What does avail is a new creature. Then he makes that statement, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." And I can't help but see that a new creature that's spoken about in verse 15 and the Israel of God in verse 16 are two different groups of people. And so we've been making a point of that quite extensively for the last 3 weeks, talking mostly about a new creature, but even last week talking about those who were in Christ before Paul, because back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 16, it's, "Henceforth know we no man any after the flesh," and then it goes on, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." From this point forward, anybody in Christ is a new creature, but there were people in Christ before Paul. And that's who the Israel of God is, the believing remnant of Israel. When God cut off the nation of Israel, he didn't cut off the believing remnant. Romans 11 makes it clear, even when it talks about some of the branches were cut off. Well, that's because God didn't cut off Peter, James, and John, and the other apostles, and the 3,000 that were saved at Pentecost, and 5,000 that were saved the day after that, and the multitudes who were saved after that. They are the Israel of God, and they are the nation of that God was forming out of the nation. But they're not the new creature. We're the new creature, the body of Christ. Now, so we've been making that point. But there's something else that was... It just stood out to me, and I kept thinking about it and thinking about it, and it became more and more clear. In verse 16, when it says, "As many as walk according to this rule." Now, the new rule is the thing that avails is a new creature. That neither circumcision avails nor uncircumcision. And those who walk according to that rule, those who live with that understanding, he pronounces a benediction, so to speak, upon them. He says, "Peace be on them and mercy." And then he extends that also to the Israel of God. And it says, "And upon the Israel of God." So I kept thinking about him extending that benediction to those who walk according to that rule, those who understand the gospel of the uncircumcision, because that's what the new creature that Paul, that what Paul's introducing. There was a time before Paul that circumcision did avail, and uncircumcision puts you in a different category apart from God. But now what's important is being in Christ, and in Christ a new creature. And those who live that way, who walk according to that rule, he is pronouncing to them peace and mercy. So the rule itself is, that's the rule. That's what counts with God. That is the standard. That is the doctrine. That is the truth. And that new creature is associated with that gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel that was revealed to the Apostle Paul that we learned about in Galatians chapter 2, the gospel that the Galatians were getting away from in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. They weren't walking according to that rule. And Paul spent the book of Galatians calling them to the attention of his ministry, his gospel message, and that truth in verse 15 is his message. And those that walk according to that rule, peace be on them and mercy. Now, the question that I had is then, why does he say peace and mercy? He extends that, and you know that's a nice benediction, but it's not just the first two words that came to his mind. There's a particular reason that he's saying peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. And peace is that thing that's associated with the new creature. Go back and hold your place here, and it's not so much that we're going to study again 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is the only other place that the new creature is mentioned. But what I want you to see is, we've been stressing like verse 16 and 17, but as we go on, I want you to realize what the new creature, what it's all about is, well, let me read the verse. Verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God." So the dispensation has changed from what God was doing when he was dealing with Israel after the flesh, those that were circumcised in the flesh made by hands. Now God's not dealing with anybody, circumcision or uncircumcision, any man, whether he's circumcised or uncircumcised. If he's in Christ, he's a new creature. And when you're in new creature, all things become new. Now, we were emphasizing all things have become new, and it's not like all the experiences of life have become new. There's a new way God is dealing with the whole world today. When it says all things are become new, it says old things are passed away, all things are become new, and then all things are of God. And the point of that is, what's going on now is of God. This is what God's doing now. And so all things are of God. This is what he's doing. But watch what he's doing. Verse 18. "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." If there was one word that would explain Paul's ministry, it would be the word reconciliation. It's called in verse 18, the ministry given to us, the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, "To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So when we talk about all things are become new and all things are of God, what God is doing in the world today with the whole world is a ministry called reconciliation. A message that God has for the whole world today is a message of reconciliation. The reason I'm emphasizing that, what is reconciliation? Reconciliation is the restoring to friendship and fellowship, making peace between two that were out of fellowship, that were at enmity. And really it was our sins that brought enmity between us and God. Actually enemies, as we'll see in just a moment. So when you see reconciliation is the peace that has been brought about according to the message of grace, the ministry given to the Apostle Paul, that God is, rather than going to judge the world in wrath, he's reconciling the world, that God was in Christ in that cross work, reconciling the world unto himself, and then committed to Paul the word of reconciliation. And now that Jesus Christ is gone, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So that when you go over there in that book of Galatians and he starts talking about as many as walk according to this rule, circumcision doesn't make any difference, uncircumcision, a new creature is the difference, because that's what God's doing today. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them. Well, if you walk according to that rule, you understand the message is a message of peace from God and a message from God to the whole world today. And that's to walk according to that rule, that's what God's doing. And to walk contrary to that rule is to walk contrary to the will of God. And the Galatians were getting away from that. And what's associated with that new creature is this ministry and word of reconciliation. Did you notice in verse 18, you got reconciled and reconciliation twice in that one verse? And all things are of God who hath reconciled. It's already done. Notice we're reconciled unto all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Then he goes again and repeats it twice in verse 19, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world. So when God reconciled the world, it's what he accomplished in Christ when Jesus Christ was dying. It became the means by if Christ is going to take the sin out of the way, it's sin that separated us from God. It's sin that caused that division, the offense between us and God. It was sin that's going to have to cause God to pour out his wrath on us because he's a holy and just God. But God was in Christ reconciling the world, taking the sin of the world away so that the world can be reconciled to him. So there's first dealing with sin, and God dealt with sin. We didn't accomplish that. He accomplished that in the death of his son. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. But then the world's got to know about this, doesn't it? And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So when Paul's out there preaching the gospel of grace, the gospel of the uncircumcision, and uncircumcision means God saving Jew and Gentile alike. And that word of reconciliation is that all can be saved. All can be reconciled to God. There can be peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as we were quoting yesterday at the funeral, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. So then Paul says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you. When Paul says it, it's God's word and it's what God has accomplished. So as God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So while God made everybody savable by Christ dying for them, they're not saved and they're not reconciled until they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're reconciled. Because reconciliation is, if you had a problem with someone and another person comes in and says, now look, here's the problem, and he owes you money, I'll pay the debt. So they took the problem out of the way. The one person who's owed the money now has the money, so he's extending the reconciliation, but this person has to accept it. So Paul goes out with a word of reconciliation, and the message, the word is, verse 21, for he hath made him, God made Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Paul says, as many walk according to that rule, peace be on them. Now watch this. Come over to Romans chapter 5. I quoted you verse 1 just a moment ago. This time I'll start in verse 8. So that's just before 1 Corinthians, is Romans. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, but God commendeth his love, and as I was expressing in the funeral yesterday, and hopefully you understand, that commendeth his love is, when he commended his love toward us, this is God magnifying his love to more than just Israel. He's extending it to us Gentiles. And that's Paul writing to the Romans. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the death of his son provided the reconciliation, and when we got justified by, you're justified on the basis of faith, when you believed it, it goes on to say, much more than being reconciled. So we're reconciled to God by the death of his son, and when we trust that, we are reconciled to God. And so reconciliation, there's peace, where we used to be enemies of God, with God, that the Lord Jesus Christ hath brought reconciliation, and when we trusted the blood of Jesus Christ, it brought reconciliation, where we are reconciled to him. Come over to chapter 11 of Romans. This is Paul's message. Every one of these have a dispensational understanding of what's happening in the age of grace, the revelation of grace to the Apostle Paul. We just jump right into verse 15 here, because this whole chapter is making this very same point. But Romans 11, verse 15 says, "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world," and that's what God accomplished in the dispensation of grace. He set Israel aside. He cast them away as his favorite nation. He's not dealing with any man after the flesh. He's not dealing with Israel in the flesh. There's the sign of circumcision given to them. "If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So there will be a receiving, and he'll bring his final promises to the world after Israel is brought back. But in the present time, God has cast away the nation of Israel, and it is the reconciling of the world, where he's turning to everybody in the world and extending the ministry and the word of reconciliation, where all men can be saved through the cross work of Christ. And when they trust that and are justified, they're reconciled to God by the death of his son. Come over with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 14, it says, "For he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "is our peace, who had made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us," that is between a Jew and a Gentile, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances." So he died and paid for the righteousness of the law, took it out of the way. Start the verse again. "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." So you got peace in verse 14, peace in verse 16, all through the ministry of reconciliation. And that reconciliation is both Jew and Gentile reconciled to God in one body. And that's what Jesus Christ accomplished. That's what's going on in the dispensation of grace. That's why verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus you were sometimes far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ." So that this ministry that Paul's been given about this dispensation of grace is the word and ministry of reconciliation that brings peace between us who were Gentiles apart from God. When I say us as Gentiles, look at Colossians chapter 1. In verse 18, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence." That's an important verse, because why did all of a sudden, he was dealing with Israel, he was going to be their king. Now he's the head of the body, the church, the body of Christ. Why did he become the head of the church, the body of Christ? "That in all things he might have preeminence." Well, keep the eye, what do you mean all things? Well, it goes on. "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself." What are we talking about? "By him," I say, "whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." God's purpose for Israel is to reconcile the earth unto himself. But he became the head of the church, the body of Christ, because God wants to reconcile all things, not just the things in earth, but also the things in heaven, reconciled unto the authority of Jesus Christ. And he's accomplished that by becoming the head of the church, the body of Christ. And he accomplished that through the blood of his cross. And then in verse 21, we become part of that. It says, and you hath he quickened, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 21 is, and you, that's you Gentiles. And that's not necessarily you as an individual believer, although that's true. Paul here, when he talks about if you continue in the faith, he's talking about the body of Christ today. But the point is, in verse 21, the ones who were sometime, which is past times, we were alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled. We're reconciled to God so that that Jesus Christ can be preeminent in all things. Well, I go through all those verses. There's 11 times we just read the word reconciled, reconciling, reconciliation, all centered around that special revelation given to the Apostle Paul. So when we're finishing the book of Galatians, realizing the Galatians were getting away from the gospel of the grace of Christ, they were moving, being brought back to circumcision as if that availed something to God. And Paul's bringing them back to his message, what was the message of grace that was given to him, what he's called the gospel of the uncircumcision. And if any man be in Christ today, he's a new creature, and as many as walk according to that rule, peace be on them. That's that ministry of reconciliation. That's the message of God. That's what God would have us living for and extending out to others. So Paul said, whoever walks according to that rule, peace be unto them. But he also says, peace be unto them and mercy. So I got thinking about that. I understood the peace associated with that message of and ministry of reconciliation. And as peace is associated with that new creature, Paul's gospel, which the Galatians were getting away from, mercy is what affords what is afforded us in God's grace. Mercy, grace is undeserved, unmerited favor, but in that undeserved, unmerited favor, we have mercy with God. And I think the idea of mercy there is by getting away from grace, you forfeit that mercy in the sense that if they're getting away from grace, they're going back to the law. Is there any mercy under the law? No, get pulled over by a cop. But I'm only going 10 over. Can't you just give that up? No, you broke the law. Now, sometimes you can persuade a guy to do that, but really, before a court, you break a law, you're found guilty, there is no mercy. You pay the penalty. And that's exactly when you consider what was going on, what the whole book of Galatians has been about, is the Galatians, they were trying to go back to circumcision rather than follow the gospel of the uncircumcision. And Paul is talking to them about being the new creature, that doesn't matter anymore. But the other thing is they were going back to law-keeping as opposed to standing in the liberty that grace gives us. And they were going back to law. Remember, they were going back to times, days and times, months and years, and they desired to be under the law. And to go back under the law is to forfeit the mercy of God. And those are the two issues in the book of Galatians. When you consider mercy, watch this. Come back to Romans chapter 11. Now, actually, it could start you back in 9. Do you remember, I'm not going to talk about it because we're going to be studying it soon in Sunday school. But in Acts chapter 9, that's where he quotes Moses and God saying, I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. And everybody gets studying chapter 9 and talking about who is God going to give mercy to. Well, if you read even the law, you find out exactly who God gives mercy to. If you read Numbers 32, is it? Anyhow, you find out that God explains to Moses who he's going to give mercy to. But if you didn't understand it from Romans 9, let me give it to you from Romans 11. Romans 11, 28. It says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. Israel has become enemies. Now, does that mean they can't be reconciled to God? Well, watch this. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for their father's sake, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet now obtain mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also might obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, Jew and Gentile, that he might have mercy upon all. In this age of grace, we Gentiles who did not believe God, we didn't have any mercy, but by God cutting off Israel, we obtained mercy. But not only did we obtain mercy, God didn't bring wrath. The Jews who had rejected Jesus Christ, they also have obtained mercy. That God in this dispensation of grace, he's concluded all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Next time you read Romans 9 and say, God will have mercy upon whom will have mercy, run to Romans 11 and find out who he's having mercy on today. Everybody, because it's an age of grace. And just think, the Galatians were trying to go back under the law. Gentiles who under the law were condemned, that were divided from Israel, enemies, alienated from God. They're trying to go back to that. And God has taken that law out of the way and extended mercy to us Gentiles and mercy to Jews today. And it's not through the law, it's by the grace of God. That's why after he says that in verse 32, he starts, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments. I mean, who would have thought God would conclude the world in unbelief so he could have mercy upon everybody? You would think if the whole world became in unbelief, he'd just damn everybody. But that's not what he did. That's what the age of grace is all about. So when Paul says, peace be unto them and mercy, this is what God's doing. God's extending peace and mercy today in this age of grace. Watch this. If you remember what I taught in 2 Corinthians 5 in the first lesson, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because I was showing you chapters 3, 4, and 5, how Paul is focusing in on his special, unique calling. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just notice the first verse. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Not only did he got a message of grace that he's going to give out, but when Paul thinks about him, he deserved to be damned. He got mercy. And because of the ministry given him, he says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And then he goes on to say, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness and so forth. But Paul looks at himself as receiving this mercy, the thing the Galatians were trying to get away from. Now, not only does he say that he received mercy, that having this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He says that same thing again. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, where so often we look at Paul talking about his unique apostleship and calling. But look at it again with this idea of mercy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. He starts in verse 11, he's talking about those that were getting away. We'll talk about what they were getting away from his message here. 1 Timothy 1:11, it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. So Paul's got a message of the gospel, it's called in Acts, the gospel of the grace of God. He said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But look what he says. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saving, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should believe on him, hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul's talking about mercy in a very special way, that he obtained mercy to be the first of God extending long-suffering to mercy to all. And again, Paul's revelation of that grace and mercy, the Galatians were getting away from it, and Paul says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God, because that's Israel, that mercy is toward them as well. While we're here, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, every one of Paul's epistles, he extends grace and peace, does he not? Because grace is the message he's been given, and peace is that ministry of reconciliation that he's got the word of. But when you get to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, I'm going to show it to you, even though I'm going to tell you now, he doesn't just say grace and mercy, or grace and peace to you. He says grace, mercy, and peace. He all of a sudden throws mercy in there. And you have to ask yourself, why all of a sudden at the end of his epistles does he throw mercy in and make it a triune type of extension of from God, greeting from God? Well, just read on. He said, as I beseech thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Why? They were trying to get away from Paul's doctrine? Neither giving heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister question rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned, from which having swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings, desiring to be teachers of the law. He extends mercy to them because there are people there at Ephesus that were leaving Paul's message, going into genealogies. Oh, I'm circumcised. I'm part of the nation of Israel. And then they were trying to get back under the law. The same thing the Galatians were doing. And what don't you have if you go back under the law? You don't have mercy. There's no mercy under the law. So Paul, that's what it's in light of them going back under the law that he adds the word mercy, grace, mercy, and peace be unto from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God extending all three of those things. Look at 2 Timothy. They're right here, so you can look at them quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is where Paul says, all those in Asia be turned from me. Not from Christ, but from me. To turn from Paul is to turn from the gospel of grace of God. And if you're going to turn from Paul but not turn from Christ, you'll end up going back to Peter, Israel, circumcision, law. And so the same context. Come over to Titus chapter 1. It says, it's down in verse 4. It says, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. So he adds it there again. But look, when he has to deal with them, he says, verse 10, for there are many unruly, ruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not, and so forth. So here it is, some Jewish people trying to impress Gentiles with Jewish doctrine away from Paul's doctrine. And Paul, when he extends from God the Father, he extends grace, mercy, and peace. And Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, not by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. That's law keeping. That's not how you're saved. But according to his mercy, he saved us. And so when they get away from Paul's doctrine, they get back into Jewish things under law, and they forfeit the peace because they get away from the ministry and message of reconciliation. They forfeit mercy because they're putting themselves back under the law. So Paul says to the Galatians, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. I think that's why he picks out those two statements there, those two words, because by Galatians getting away from Paul, they were going to forfeit that benediction that God is extending to them. And not that they forfeit that living in that peace, and certainly expressing and teaching that peace and living in that mercy. And even watch, go back to Galatians. here's the fruit of that. In verse 17, he says, so he extended that benediction, and he says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. When he says the absence of those that were walking in the truth of what it means to be a new creature in Christ, in the truth of the gospel of the uncircumcision, in the truth of the gospel of the grace of God, the things that Paul's ministry has extended, that the in absence of that, there's nothing but trouble. Remember, Paul asked earlier in the book of Galatians, where is that blessedness you spoke of? He talked about how they were willing to give their own eyes to him, but that blessedness is gone. He says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So they got away from Paul's message, and you don't see peace and mercy. You see this doctrine of going back to Israel and law-keeping as causing trouble. Paul even says, if you bite and devour one another, see you'll be consumed one of another. And that's what law does. It makes you judge and condemn someone else to make yourself look better. So he says, from henceforth, if you're not going to walk according to the rule, don't bother with me. Don't trouble me anymore, because trouble comes when people don't walk according to that rule. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. He says, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. There was a group of people who went after Paul, who were Judaizers, we've been calling them, certainly law keepers, men who were outside of Christ, religious zealots, zealous of the law like Paul used to be, who hounded Paul wherever he went because he preached the gospel of the uncircumcision. Now that's a fact. In the sense that, remember back in chapter 5, verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Because Paul preached the gospel of the uncircumcision, of salvation apart from Israel's covenants of promise, he suffered persecution. Such persecution that those who hounded him for preaching that message to Gentiles, offering them salvation, that there's marks in his body. Come back to Acts chapter 14. I'm sure in our introduction we pointed all these things out, but when he says marks in my body, I'll show you where the marks came from. Acts chapter 14. In verse 18, it says, 18, he stops the people from Lystra from worshiping him. They thought he was a god that came down from heaven because of he healed a man. And then verse 19 says, and there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, saying, and there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, when the disciples stood round about him, he arose up and came into the city, and the next day he and Barnabas departed into Derbe. It's interesting, if you catch those names, Antioch, Iconium, and Derbe, those are cities in the region of Galatia. And Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. If they stoned him and thought he was dead, do you think it left any marks? It's a miracle the next day he can travel. So God raised him. If he was dead, he raised him from the dead. This is probably the same time when he says, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. He's caught up into third heaven. But the point is they stoned him, leaving him for dead, and over there, that's in the area of Galatia, and he says that he's, don't let anybody trouble me anymore, because I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The preaching, the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of the grace of God, There's marks in my body to prove I preach that message, and because I preach that message, people trouble me, and they've marred me. They persecuted me. There's marks in my body to prove it. So he says in verse 17 of Galatians chapter 6, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." So he brings them back to the grace of God, brings them back to his gospel message, warned them about not moving away. And then the last statement that he makes, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," he doesn't say, "be with you, amen." He says, "be with your spirit." Now, to understand that statement, the Bible says, "What man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? The same way, neither can any man know the things of God save the Spirit of God be in him. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." God's Holy Spirit has put in his words spiritual truth for our life. And when Paul says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit," he's talking about them having the spiritual understanding of what grace means and not be moved away from it. Because they were moved away from it. The next book is Ephesians. Come over to Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 4. He says in verse 23, before that it's put off the old man. Now in verse 23 of Ephesians 4, he says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." So you're going to take the message, the word of God's grace, and let it renew the way that you think. They weren't renewing their mind. They were going back to a previous dispensation that God says that doesn't avail to God anymore. But here he says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye might put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." By God's grace being in your spirit, you are going to be renewed, and you're going to put on the new man. To me, that's putting on that you are a new creature in Christ. Now you're going to put it on by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And not only put on renewed, you are that new man. Look at Colossians. He didn't say put it on. He says you already have. Colossians chapter 1. He says in verse 15, he says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." No, that's not what I want. Colossians chapter 3. It's in the same place, just the wrong verse. Colossians chapter 3 and verse, I'll just start in verse 10. Again, he told you to put off the old. Verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You've already put on the new man, and that's renewed in knowledge of the image of him that made him. You're in Christ. And as you get renewed in that knowledge, that's how you put on Christ and live in that truth. "Where there is neither," and this is where you see that new man is the body of Christ, "where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness of mind, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." And I read that so I could get to verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." We've been called into the body of Christ. We put on that new man, and it's renewed in knowledge of him that created him, and that in that new man there's neither Jew or Gentile. Paul's saying, "As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." He said, "Don't let any more man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Learn the grace of God, get the spiritual understanding of the grace of God, and let it be with your spirit. Amen. And that's what the Galatians were not letting the grace of God in their spirit, in their thinking. And as a result, they were forfeiting the truth of God's grace that works and renews us and produces the life of Christ in us. So that's the conclusion of the book of Galatians, and those closing remarks that Paul is making there, very pointed, all about what actually works in our life and reflects Christ. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you that those words of peace and mercy are certainly directly related to the revelation you've given to the Apostle Paul, that we are to not only believe, walk in, and let that grace be in our spirit so that it reflects the life of Christ. Not only are we in Christ, but he in us. And Father, that all that has associated with us being in the body of Christ. So Father, we thank you for what we've seen today, and we thank you that we can be grounded in that truth, and pray that we never get like the Galatians, who were moving away from all of that into things that would only forfeit the peace and forfeit the mercy, at least in their life and in their actions, and forfeit, therefore, the very life of Christ being manifest in them like it ought to be. So thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.